Sarva te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 57, Chapter entitled Satrajit Murdered, The Jewel Returned, text number 3839
onwards.
Tatapi
Duradaras
Tu
Anyais
Twayi
Astam
Suvrate Mani Kintu Mam Agrajaha Samyan Na Pratyeti Manim Prati Tatapi durdaras twanyais. Tatapi durdaras twanyais. Twayastam suvrate mani. Twayastam suvrate mani.
Twayastam suvrate mani.
Kintumam agraja samyan. Kintumam agraja samyan.
Kintumam agraja samyan.
Na pratyeti manim prati.
Na pratyeti manim prati.
Na pratyeti manim prati. Tatapi durdaras twanyais. Twayastam suvrate mani. Kintumam agraja samyan. Na pratyeti manim prati. Tatapi. Nevertheless. Durdara.
Durdara.
Impossible to hold on to.
Impossible to hold on to.
Tu.
Tu.
But.
Anyai.
Anyai. By others.
By others.
Twayi.
Twayi.
With you.
With you.
Astam.
Astam.
Should remain.
Should remain.
Suvrate.
Suvrate.
O trustworthy keeper of vows.
O trustworthy keeper of vows.
Mani.
Mani.
The jewel.
The jewel.
Kintu.
Kintu.
Only.
Only.
Mam.
Mam.
Me.
Me.
Agraja.
Agraja.
My elder brother. Samyak.
Samyak.
Completely.
Completely.
Na pratyeti.
Na pratyeti.
Does not believe.
Does not believe.
Manim prati.
Manim prati.
Concerning the jewel.
Concerning the jewel.
Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Nevertheless, the jewel should remain in your care, O trustworthy Akrura, because no one else can keep it safely. But please show the jewel just once, since my elder brother does not fully believe what I have told him about it. In this way, O most fortunate one, you will pacify my relatives. Everyone knows you have the jewel, for you are now continually performing sacrifices on altars of gold. Translation responsibly. Nevertheless, the jewel should remain in your care.
The jewel should remain in your care.
O trustworthy Akrura.
O trustworthy Akrura.
Because no one else can keep it safely.
Because no one else can keep it safely.
But please show the jewel just once.
But please show the jewel just once.
Since my elder brother does not fully believe.
Since my elder brother does not
truly believed.
What I have told him about it.
What I have told him about it.
In this way.
In this way.
O most fortunate one.
O most fortunate one.
You will pacify my relatives.
You will pacify my relatives.
Everyone knows you have the jewel.
Everyone knows you have the jewel.
For you are now continually performing sacrifices.
For you are now continually performing sacrifices.
On altars of gold.
On altars of gold.
Purport. Although technically Satyabhama's sons had a right to the jewel, Lord Krishna decided to leave the jewel in the care of Akrura, who was using the jewel's wealth to continually perform religious activities. Indeed, Akrura's ability to perform such rituals on altars of gold was an indication of the jewel's potencies. Text 40. Thus shamed by Lord Krishna's conciliatory words, the son of Shwapalka brought out the jewel from where he had concealed it in his clothing and gave it to the Lord. The brilliant gem shone like the sun. Purport. We can see in this chapter how a valuable jewel caused so much intrigue, violence, and suffering. This is certainly a good lesson for those who desire a trouble-free spiritual life. Text 41. After the Almighty Lord had shown the Shyamantaka jewel to his relatives, thus dispelling the false accusations against him, he returned it to Akrura. Purport. For the second time, doubts about the Lord's reputation occasioned by the Shyamantaka jewel are dispelled by the jewel itself. Indeed, for the second time, the Lord brought the jewel to Dwarka to establish his integrity there. This amazing series of incidents demonstrates that even when Lord Krishna descends to this world, there is a tendency for his peers to criticize him. The whole material world is infected by the fault-finding propensity. And in this chapter, the Supreme Lord demonstrates the nature of this undesirable quality. Text 42. This narration, rich with descriptions of the prowess of Lord Sri Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, removes sinful reactions and bestows all auspiciousness. Anyone who recites, hears, or remembers it will drive away his own infamy and sins and attain peace. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 57th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Satyajit Murdered, the Jewel Returned. Omigyan timirandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam didati swabdantikam. Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindupi evacha pititanam pavanebhyo vaishna vebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So once again, in this pastime, we see many extraordinary things taking place. That's the wonderful thing about hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of amrita. Amrita means it is nectarian. Whereas the material world, to be very frank and very honest, it's a very boring place. Actually, it's very boring, you know. Just like nearly every second person I speak to, if not more, if not like 90% of the people I speak to, you know, you ask them, what are you doing, and that, and they just say, oh, you know, same old thing, you know, it's boring, my life is pretty boring, you know, I need to do something more with my life, you know. But the one who gets a taste, for hearing the topics which are within the Srimad Bhagavatam, he will never be bored. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is amrita, and is like nectar. And the pastimes that take place in the Srimad Bhagavatam are full of wonderful descriptions, wondrous descriptions. Just like we have a jewel here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this jewel, the Syamantaka jewel, the jewel is so famous that the jewel has a name. That's the wonderful thing about the pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, extraordinary descriptions which take place. Just like in this world, sometimes people have jewels. You know, a lady may have like a 5-carat diamond or something, but you don't give the diamond a name. Right? Maybe sometimes they do give a name, but generally it's not like everyone, you know, in her street knows that, you know, this jewel has a name. Very rarely do jewels get names. There are jewels, even in the world today, that have names. Just like the Queen of England, she has certain jewels, certain diamonds that have names. You know, big, huge diamonds, like, you know, big, huge jewels. And they have names, they're very famous. Elizabeth Taylor, one very famous Hollywood actress, she has jewels that have names like that. But they can't be compared to what was there in Krishna's time. This jewel was given to the denizens of Earth. It was given to the members of the Yadu dynasty by the sun god. If you're very fortunate in this world, you might meet someone very famous once or twice in your life. You know? You might meet, you know, who might you meet? Has anyone ever met anyone famous in this world? Anyone? Everyone's very boring here. Our lives are so boring, we've never even met anyone famous. You met someone famous? Queen of England? Yeah. Yeah? Elizabeth? You met her? That's her name? She must have left a deep impression on you. You met her? For the Commonwealth Games. Okay. She came to your house? Or? No. Okay, so, you know, one person here has met the Queen of England. Right? It's very rare that you'll meet someone famous in your life. Most of us haven't even met anyone famous in our life. Yes, sir?
I've met famous people, but I can't remember their names.
Amazing people.
Comedians and people in bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. So sometimes we meet someone, but you know, we don't even remember their name. But if you met the sun god, you would probably remember his name. Right? And you'd probably always remember that meeting like that. And this just shows what the material world is like. Right? In Kali Yuga, right now, because we're in Kali Yuga, we're in the most boring age out of all the ages. It's so boring, even when you meet someone famous, you don't remember their name. It's so boring that even when you meet the most famous lady in the world, the Queen of England, you can't remember her name. Right? It's a boring age. But in previous times, right, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they met the sun god. The sun god came and he gave them a jewel. He said, here, you take this Syamantaka jewel, famous jewel. And this jewel was so famous and it had so much potency that it produced every day gold, like mounds of gold every day. Right? Just imagine if we got that one up there, Nanda. Right? We had that one up in the treasury. No more counting coins, boy. Right. Just get the Syamantaka out of the safe every day, just get a couple of mounds of gold and no problem, like that. Could buy a few lassies with that one. So if we had something so powerful and wonderful as the Syamantaka jewel. So in Dwapara Yuga, in each yuga, in each age, the Yuga Dharma is different. In each age there is a different method or a different way of worshipping the Lord. Right? In Satya Yuga, they worship the Lord how? What is the Yuga Dharma, or the way to become self-realized or God-realized in Satya Yuga, the first age? Meditation, right? By meditation. It says that they meditate for 60,000 years. Right? That's the same as us chanting japa non-stop for 60 years. Right? Imagine non-stop just chanting japa for 60 years. That's how powerful the meditation is. So by meditation, they become perfect. And then in in Treta Yuga, how do they become perfect? Yeah, by Jagya. They perform huge Jagyas, right? Big Jagyas, Rajasuya Jagyas, Ashwamedha Jagyas. It requires thousands of people to participate, to perform these Jagyas. You know, they have to collect so much paraphernalia, so much wealth, so much gold, so many brahmanas. The brahmanas must be potent. Before they perform the Jagya, they kill an animal. They take an old cow or an old horse or something, or an old goat or something, and they decapitate it. Right? They cut its head off. And then to test if the brahmanas are potent, right? If they're potent brahmanas, and if they will chant the mantras and the mantras have potency, then after they kill the animal, the brahmanas chant mantras, and by chanting the mantras, the animal comes back to life and it has a young body. Right? They kill an old horse or something, or an old cow or something, and when they chant their mantras, they bring it back to life and it has a young body. And this shows, yes, now we can do the Jagya, because the brahmanas are potent like that. It's very hard to find brahmanas like that in Kali Yuga, like that. Imagine if we had to, you know, cut off someone's head before we began the Jagya. You know, just like on Sunday morning, you know, Krishnagaja is doing the Jagya. Imagine, you know, cut off the head, and then I have faith. I know Grudge could bring that horse back to life. I know he could do it, because I know he's pure. Right. But generally in Kali Yuga, it won't be so easy. In Kali Yuga, we can't find Brahmanas. You know, the Brahmanas half the time can't even stay awake. Right? You see the Brahmanas in India, they've got big fat bellies, you know, just eating chapatis. Right? They're not very potent personalities like that. So in that yuga, then by Jagya, everyone became perfect. And then in the third yuga, Dwapara Yuga, then how does everyone become perfect? By deity worship. Right. So this pastime, when Krishna appears, when is this pastime taking place? In Dwapara Yuga. So the Yuga Dharma is deity worship. Now it says that in, just like now, we do deity worship in Kali Yuga too. But in Kali Yuga, what is the Yuga Dharma? Harinam Sankirtan. Right? And the reason it is Harinam Sankirtan is because there is no hope of us doing any of the others properly. Right? We could not do the Jagyas properly, we could not do the meditation properly, we could not do the deity worship sufficiently in Kali Yuga to get the full result. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. He says, okay, you guys, right, you're not very qualified, so I just give you Harinam, just do that. At least do that properly. Right? At least stay awake when you're doing kirtan. Right? When you're dancing around in the temple and we're doing big kirtan, please don't fall asleep at that time. Otherwise you miss out, then you have to come back. You know, you miss the golden age, you miss Kali Yuga, and then you have to wait another thousands of years until you get a chance to become Krishna conscious again. So take advantage, this yuga. In this yuga we must take advantage of Sankirtan, right? Chanting and dancing. That's all you have to do. Right? Srila Prabhupada mentions that the process is so powerful in Kali Yuga. All you have to do is chant and dance in front of Gaur Nitai in Kali Yuga, and the process is so powerful, you can purify your heart completely. And you can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely, and you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan in this lifetime. Right? How powerful is that? Right? That is the most powerful benediction. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give so much mercy? The Acharya's comment, I think it's Jiva Goswami who comments, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the highest benediction. He is giving Krishna Prem, right? He is giving all the living entities the opportunity to come back to Goloka Vrindavan, and he is especially emphasizing Madhurya Ras, which means the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. That is his special gift that he is giving to the living. So then the question may be asked, how can he give that to the most fallen personalities? We don't even have any qualification. How can we receive the highest benediction when we have no qualification whatsoever. How is it even possible? So the Acharyas explain that just like the king, sometimes the king may become intoxicated. Right? He drinks too much Varuna juice. Right? Just like if you drink too much Varuna juice, you become a little, how do you say it? Mad. Right? Drink too much Varuna juice, you become intoxicated. Like that. Have you ever had a kirtan after drinking 5 cups of Varuna juice? You should see what that kirtan is like. We had a kirtan like that in 1993, right here in this temple. Me and your father. Right? Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I told you about that. I can't tell all the details here now because it's being recorded. I can't tell you what happened. Like that. Atul Krishna made me do it.
Wasn't Annie Rita Prabhu not here or something?
Annie Rita Prabhu was in India. And he doesn't know what happened. So I'm not going to speak it here because this gets all around the world, they hear this. But if you want, come and ask me another time and I'll tell you. But I don't take any responsibility. I told Krishna Prabhu was responsible. Veda Priya was there. She remembers what took place. So, if the king becomes intoxicated, imagine the king takes 5 cups of Varuna juice, right, and then now he's totally intoxicated, and he goes into his treasury, and he starts looking around in the treasury, and he sees, you know, I have diamonds, I have rubies, I have gold, I have emeralds, picks all it all up, and just walks out onto the street in the middle of the kingdom, and starts just giving it out to all the citizens. Take it. Wear it. Put it on. Wear this diamond necklace. Just take it. Like that. And he's just giving it to everyone. Everyone's just walking around like, what's wrong with the king? Right? The king's gone mad. He's intoxicated. He's just giving out all the crown jewels. Take it. Everyone take it. Like that. That's his mood. Like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they're in that mood. They're tasting so much nectar. Right? They're so deeply absorbed in Krishna. Right? And they're tasting Krishna Prem so much, and they're so intoxicated. Right? Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are so intoxicated, they're just saying, take Krishna Prem. Go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And you might say, well, I'm not qualified. Doesn't matter, just go back. All of you, go. Even you, go. Like that. That's their mood. Right? They're totally intoxicated with Krishna. Right? Krishna Prem. So because they're intoxicated, Mahavadanyaya, most munificent, most benefit. Right? Even those who are most fallen, Patita Pavana, means those who are the most fallen personalities. They get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. So, in Kali Yuga, we have to perform Harinam Sankirtan because we can't perform any of the other processes of God realization in the Yuga Dharma for the other ages. We can't perform them properly. So, it says here that Akrura was getting so much gold every day from the Shamantaka jewel that everyone knew that he must have had the jewel because he was using so much gold in the worship of the deity. One time, Jai Tirtha Charan Prabhu told me, he said, in Dwapara Yuga, when the Yuga Dharma was deity worship, that was the process of God realization in Dwapara Yuga. He told me one time, he said, in order to worship the deity properly, you had to install the deity. I can't remember exactly what the measurements were, but he told me. He said you had to install the deity on a 10 foot by 12 foot by 18 foot solid slab of gold. Right? Then the deity worship would be accepted or considered to be on the proper level. Right? Not possible in Kali Yuga. Not possible in Kali Yuga. If we installed Radha Vallabha on 18 foot of 12 foot of 10 foot of gold, right, we would have every thief in the world, you know, coming down here. It would be no possibility, right? It would not be possible to even do it, right, if we could even get the gold in the first place. But in Dwapara Yuga, that's the type of deity worship, that's the way the deity was worshipped in Dwapara Yuga, and that's why it was the process of God realization. Dwapara Yuga was deity worship because the standard was so high, right? But in Kali Yuga, We follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi Mark and the Bhagavat Vidhi Mark. It means that we do Sankirtan, we hear and chant about Krishna, and we perform deity worship simultaneously. But the deity worship we perform here now is more simple than in Dwapara Yuga. But still, deity worship is necessary. Right? It is necessary because this is discussed in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Srila Prabhupada discusses this in his purports, this point. If Harinam is the, if Sankirtan is the method of God realization in Kali Yuga, why do we need to do deity worship or anything else? Right? If you just chant Hare Krishna, you can go back to Godhead. So then why did Prabhupada install so many deities around the world? Right? If it is just chanting that can take us back, it's true. If we chant, just chant purely, we can go back to Godhead. That's true. Right? So then why do we have the deity worship? So Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that even though we chant, it's very difficult for us to get out of the bodily concept of life. Right? It's very hard to transcend the bodily concept that I am a man, or I am a woman, or I am an Indian, or I am an Australian. Right? It's very hard to get out of the body, bodily concept of life. So the deity worship purifies the senses and purifies the consciousness and brings us to the spiritual platform. Before we do the deity worship, we do Buddha Shuddhi, which means we purify our consciousness by meditation. We purify the mind. Before we do the deity worship, in our mind, we chant mantras. We chant mantras and we establish in our mind, I am, as Lord Chaitanya says, I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, a Grihastha, a Vanaprastha, a Sannyasi. I am Gopi Bhatu, Pada Kamala Yor, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. Right? So before we do the deity worship, we install in our mind this is who we are. And we should do the same, we should do the same thing before we chant our japa in the morning. Right? Not that you just pick up your beads, you know. Yeah. Or whatever mantra it is that you chant. I don't know if it's the Maha mantra. You're chanting some mantra, I don't know what it is. Right? You must chant the Maha mantra. Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in these purports in Adi Lila, Prabhupada says when you chant, you have to use your lips and your tongue, your top lip, your bottom lip, and your tongue to chant. It means when you chant the name Hare, right? What does the name Hare sound like? It sounds like Ha Re. Ha Re, right? You can only say that if you use both of your lips and your tongue. Right? If you don't really use your lips and your tongue, if you're going to go... right? That's why Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, use both of your lips. Prabhupada said, use the top lip, use the bottom lip, and use the tongue. Because what should come out of your mouth and what people should hear when they listen to you should be Hare. Right? And the second word is Krishna. Krishna, not... That's not Krishna. That is not God. Right? That's not his name. You know? Someone might come if you chant like that, but it won't be him. It won't be Krishna. Krishna will only come if you say Krishna. If you say Krishna, Krishna, he will come. And the third word is Rama. Right? Or sometimes we say Ram, like that. But it must be Ram. It must be Rama. 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 Like that. The name must be pronounced properly. Like that. So before you begin to chant your japa, right, then you should install in your mind, or you should purify your consciousness and meditate who you are. Right? I'm not a Kshatriya. I'm not a Brahmana. I'm not a Vaishya. I'm not a Sudra. I'm not a Brahmachari or a Brahmacharini. I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. Gopi Bhatu, Pada Kamaliyo, Das, Adas, Anudas. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis. I am the servant of my spiritual master. I am the servant of Srila Prabhupada. I am the servant of the previous Acharyas. I am the servant of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. I am the servant of the Pancha Tattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, Sri Vasadi, Gaura Bhaktivinoda. I am their servant. Now I'll begin to chant, by their mercy, the Maha Mantra. That is the process. That is the process. And when devotees chant, I was watching this morning, some devotees, if you ever heard Prabhupada chant on the japa tape, mm-hmm. Prabhupada's japa tape, during this Prabhupada's japa, Prabhupada says something. What does he say?
Sit properly.
Sit properly. Right? I was watching this morning some of the men chanting, you are not sitting properly. This is the temple room. Right? You don't sit, you know, kind of like, you know, against the pillar like this while you're chanting your japa, like, oh, relax. No, right? You sit in yogasana. Right? Why do we sit cross-legged? Why is everyone sitting cross-legged pretty much now? Why do we sit like this? Because for the mind, the subtle body, when you sit in this asana, right, the mind is more focused. You watch. As soon as you change out of this posture, you watch. The mind becomes more relaxed. Right? The subtle body, the mind, you know, in the subtle body, when the body is sitting like this, right, the mind is very focused. Therefore, Krishna says in the 6th chapter of the Gita, back must be straight. Right? He says, back and neck must be erect. Right? Sitting straight, everything... Everyone starts sitting properly. Actually, there's three ways, three bona fide ways to sit. One is that you sit... Adrian, can you help me here? Can you sit the way you're just sitting just then? That's okay to sit like that. That's bona fide. That's why you see pictures of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting like that. The other one is you sit kind of on your side, but the legs come on the side. Can you do that one? No, no. It means both legs on the side. Yeah, like that. Both legs on the side. Yeah, grudges like that. Like that. So thank you for helping in the class today. Like that. So both legs on the side. That one's also bona fide, and this one is bona fide. Right? It specifically says in Nectar of Devotion, if you're sitting in other postures, you know, Nectar of Devotion specifically says if you have your arms crossed, that's not proper. Sometimes you see people standing in front of the deities like this. It says in Nectar of Devotion this is not proper. Yeah, can you imagine standing in front of the Queen of England, the Queen of England like this? Or the President? Would you stand like this in front of George Bush if you met him for the first time? How you doing, George? How's that war going? So, I mean, how can you stand in front of Krishna? You know, you see people standing in arti like this. Like, it's not proper. It also says one should not rest the hands on the knees. It means, you know, when people sit like with the knees up in front of, yeah, like that. Like that. That's not proper. In front, you're sitting in front of God. Like, you know, just kind of sitting there like, how are you doing today? it's not proper. It's not the proper etiquette. Like that. So therefore one must sit properly, one must stand properly. Right? It also says one should not have the hands behind the back. Like this, you know, holding the hands behind. Sometimes you'll see someone's in the arti just kind of holding their hands behind the back. It's not proper in front of Krishna. Right? The hands should be in respect, pranam. Like that. Or maybe, you know, you may have your hands in front of you, crossed like that in front, you know, when you're sitting like that in front of you. Or the best thing is when you're in front of the deities, you should be doing the Swami step. Right? If it's in a kirtan, you should be dancing in front of there. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, one of the items of devotional service is that you should dance in front of the deities. Right? Unless you're physically impaired. You know, if your body is injured or you have some health problem, you may not be able to. But otherwise, a devotee should dance in front of the deities. And Prabhupada taught us to do the Swami step. Right? We stand from side to side. We dance from side to side in front of the deities. And, you know, we raise our hands in front of the deities. Right? Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what does this mean? This means, I surrender to you. I am yours, take me, I surrender. Right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This is auspicious. This is the method of God realization in Kali Yuga. Not that we all, you know, just come in front of the deities, you know. Not, you know, just standing there, like just standing. In the middle of a kirtan, just standing. It's not proper. You should dance like that. Remember in Brahma Samhita, it says in the spiritual world, everyone is dancing. In the spiritual world, it says that. Everyone is singing in the spiritual world. Right? These things are mentioned. This is what it's like. This is what it should be like in front of the deities during the kirtan in the temple. And if you cannot do it, you know, if you have a sore ankle or sore legs or something and you cannot dance, but in the mind you must be dancing. Right? And that's the same. Right? You get the same benefit of dancing in the mind. If you cannot dance physically, you get the same benefit if you dance in the mind. You should be dancing. One time, Brahmananda Prabhu, and I think Gargamuni Prabhu, some of Prabhupada's early disciples, they came back to the temple and they'd been in the court in New York. They'd been in the court all day. And they came back at the end of the day and they'd been in court, they're fighting some court case for ISKCON. And they came back at the end of the day, and in the court case it was very difficult. It looked like we might lose the court case. We ended up winning it, but it looked like, you know, we might lose the court case. So they came back at the end of the day and they're very morose and very depressed, and they came into the temple and they're in front of the deities, but they're thinking about what happened in the court and they're looking very morose and very depressed. And Prabhupada said to them after the kirtan, he said, do not come before Krishna like this. When you come before Krishna, you must be in a happy mood. Right? Because, you know, look at him. How does he look? Right? Have you ever seen him without a smile? Ever? When was the last time you saw him looking morose? Right? So you're coming to associate with him, so you might also have to enter into his mood as his servant. When you enter into the temple, you just leave all of your baggage outside. Right? Everything that's going in your mind, all your problems, leave it outside. Just come in, dance and chant in front of the kirtan, pray to the deities, chant japa in front of the deities, like that, and just enter into spiritual bliss. Leave it all behind. Right? And if you come like that before Krishna, then Krishna will take away all your problems. Right? Krishna is so powerful, he can just remove all your problems instantly. Sometimes you feel so, your mind is so disturbed, and then you come and see Radha Vallabha, and Gaur-Nitai and Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra, and then as soon as you see them, automatically you come out of the temple feeling totally transformed and purified. So when we take their association, we should be in the right consciousness. So it mentions that although the process of God realization in Kali Yuga is Harinam Sankirtan, but still we have to perform deity worship simultaneously, because deity worship helps us to get out of the bodily concept of life. And then it makes our chanting more pure. Right? We chant better when we worship the deity properly. Right? If we have the proper attitude towards the deities and we worship the deities appropriately, then our chanting will become purified. That's why we have to do Pancharatrika Vidhimag and Bhagavat Vidhimag simultaneously. Deity worship and chanting simultaneously in Kali Yuga. Both must be there. So we see here that Akrura, he had so much gold was being produced every day, and he was worshipping the deity with all of this gold. Right? So everyone knew that he had the Shaman Tucker jewel. But ever since the Shaman Tucker jewel entered into Dwarka, what happened?
Problems.
As soon as it came in, what was there? Problems, right? So in the purport, Hridayananda Maharaj says, we see in this chapter how a valuable jewel caused so much intrigue, violence and suffering. This is certainly a good lesson for those who desire a trouble-free spiritual life. So that's why one of the mottos of ISKCON is drink Varuni juice until you... No, not that motto. There's another motto.
Simple living,
high thinking. That's one of the mottos of ISKCON. That came from Prabhupada. Right? So this is how all the devotees in ISKCON should live. Just like we saw when Jayapataka Swami was showing his slideshow, and he was showing his tour around the world, and they went to, I think it was the opening of the Tirupati temple in South India. Did devotees see the slideshow? And then they opened the Tirupati temple, and there was Radha and Krishna and the Astasakis. Beautiful, amazing, beautiful temple. And one of the all the devotees there, all the leaders came from around the world. So many of the sannyasis were there, and the GBC were there, and so many of the senior devotees were there. And one of the devotees who was there was Ambarish Prabhu. who is Henry Ford's grandson, right? Henry Ford owned Ford Motors, like super wealthy man. His grandson was Alfred Ford, who took initiation from Prabhupada, became Ambarish Prabhu. He's super rich, right? We don't even, can't even imagine how rich he is. His family owns Ford. They also own Volvo. And I don't know what else they own, but I imagine they must own, yeah, they probably own half the planet. But they're very, very rich. But even though he's so rich and so wealthy, right, you saw him in the worship of the deity in the Tirupati temple when they were installing the deities, dressed just like a simple Vaishnava, right? In a very humble, very simple mood, just worshipping Radha and Krishna and the gopis, right? So this is the mood. Prabhupada said here, it is a good lesson for those who desire a trouble-free spiritual life. Wealth can become very troublesome for a devotee, right? Prabhupada says money and women, or for women it means men, money and women, or money and the opposite sex, Prabhupada says, are the biggest stumbling blocks in spiritual life. Right? When Maya really wants to trick you, she sends these two. Right? Here's some money. Right? Or here is a beautiful woman, or here's a beautiful man. Like that. And in this way she tries to distract us in spiritual life. So we have to be on guard as devotees. And it's actually not so easy. Even though we say, yeah, 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 like I'm renounced, you know, and if I had money, I don't really want money anyway. But suddenly if you inherited $1 million, see what would happen. It's easy to see it when you say it when you don't have it, right? But suddenly you inherit $1 million tomorrow and see what happens to your consciousness. You know, do you still say, yeah, 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 I don't want it, I don't need it. Right? Suddenly your consciousness begins to change, right? It's very powerful. The effect is very powerful, right? So therefore, it's a benediction for the devotees. You'll see often the devotees are not so wealthy. Some of the devotees are wealthy. Prabhupada explains this, that the devotees of Lord Shiva are generally very wealthy. But the Vaishnavas, generally you don't see the Vaishnavas are very wealthy. Sometimes they are. Some devotees are wealthy. But generally you see the devotees, they're not poor usually, but they just have enough. You know, they don't have any anxiety. They have enough, but they don't have a lot of wealth either. So this is Krishna's mercy on the devotee. Krishna maintains the devotee. He gives them everything they need, but he doesn't give them too much because he doesn't want them to become distracted by material wealth. So generally you'll see that's why Krishna does not let the devotees become too wealthy, generally. So it's interesting, in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, there's many instructions by Narad Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he says, if you want to overcome different material faults or different material defects, he says how to overcome these things. Right, it's in the 7th canto, the 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking Narada Muni different questions, and Narada in one section, he says if you want to overcome these particular material qualities or defects, he says how to do it. So he says here, how to give up greed. Right? Because greed is our problem. If you want wealth, people, you see, the whole world these days, in Kali Yuga these days, the whole world is just overcome by greed. They just want more and more money, more and more money. It's not enough. You've got to have more. So, does anyone want to hear how Prahlad Maharaj says that we should combat this desire for greed? Anyone would like to know? Or would you rather have breakfast? No, you'd like to know? Want that? So he says, by discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one can give up greed. Right? So devotees have to continually discuss amongst themselves the disadvantages of having wealth. Right? Because there's many disadvantages. Just like, what is the whole pastime about the Shamantaka jewel? The whole pastime of the Shamantaka jewel, okay, you've got so much wealth, but then what happened? No peace of mind. Right, so was it actually worth having it? Just like there's one man I saw, I think it was on 60 Minutes or one of those shows. There was one man who won in America, he won 3 states lottery. You know, like 3 states of America has 52 states. So 3 states, they had a lottery, like a tax lottery. And he won the whole lot at once. He won something like $300 million US dollars. Like that. So they did an interview with him 1 year later, and he said, you know, to be honest, it's probably better I didn't win that money. He said, I was actually happier before that. He says, because ever since I got that money, every single person who knows me now, whenever I see them, all they ask me is, can you give me $10,000? Right? So then he gives them $10,000. And then they come back 2 weeks later and they say, can you give me $30,000? Like that. And then when he has, like, you know, dozens of people asking him this, he can't just give away $10,000, $20,000, you know, every single day. So then people come to him and they all get angry with him. They say, what's wrong with you? Now, you just won $300 million and you won't even give me $10,000, right? Aren't I your friend? So he says he's practically lost every single friend that he's got, right? Because everyone just wants his money. So then he doesn't have any peace of mind or any satisfaction, no quality of life. So therefore, Narad Muni says to Yudhishthira, if you want to overcome greed, then discuss the disadvantages of having wealth, right? And then you can overcome that desire. It will help overcome. The main way to overcome it is by chanting Hare Krishna. That's the main way, because then you'll get such an ecstasy, you don't want wealth. So there's a few other things that he says, Narad Muni says. He says, by making how to give up lust. Does anyone want to know how to give up lust? Yeah, that one's good. He says, by making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. So if you see that you have lust in your heart and you want to overcome it, he says, make plans with determination. Right? That's why we practice brahmacharya. Right? That's why we are brahmacharis or brahmacharinis when we first come to the movement. Even as grihasthas, we're brahmacharis. Right? Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, said, grihastha brahmacharis. Right? You have to have that plan to give up lust. Right, to give up your attachment to material sense gratification, you have to make a plan with determination. Right, that's why when we take initiation, we take a vow to follow the four regulative principles. You have to have a determined vow, then you can give up your desires for sense gratification. Right? And then he says, if you want to give up anger, right, how do we give up anger? Right, sometimes do you get angry? Right, you want to give up anger? He says, one should give up envy. If you want to give up anger, you have to give up envy. Because why do you become angry? Because you're envious. Right? Because you're envious of other people. And then when you're envious of other people, right? And then you are thinking you're envious of them and you are thinking I am superior to them, like that. Then when they don't do what you want, or when they treat you in a different way to what you want, right? Then you become angry. Right? So he says, give up envy. Don't think that you are superior. Think that you are inferior. That is Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Amanena, manadena, right, means do not expect respect for yourself and offer all respect to others. If you're like that, you never become angry. Right? Because no one can insult you. If you always think you're an inferior person, no one can insult you. You only feel insulted when you think you are superior. Someone says something to you and you think, how can they say that? Right, and you become all disturbed. Right? That's because you're thinking you're superior. So in your consciousness, you have to give up envy. So Prahlad Maharaj gives, Narad Muni gives different ways to give up these different problems. If you read this section, the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad of this 7th canon, it gives very nice ways that we can give up all these different problems. So we see in this pastime in Dwarka that the Shaman Tucker Jewel, it came into Dwarka, but the whole lesson that Krishna was teaching when the Shamantaka jewel came was that we should give up our desire for material wealth. Because if we become attached to material wealth, it just causes problems, even amongst the society of devotees. Right? Because everyone became so bewildered by this jewel in Dwarka, people started even insulting or criticizing Krishna. Right? That's how everyone became so disturbed. Everyone forgot about Krishna. And they began to even cast insults towards him. That's how much they became distracted by material wealth. Like that. We see that in the Gaudiya Math, right? When Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he established 64 Gaudiya Maths around India. And then in Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, they built one huge, beautiful marble temple for the Gaudiya Math. But then what happened is that all the sannyasis and the brahmacharis who were living in the mutt, living in the ashram, right, in the guru's ashram in Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya Mutt, everyone started arguing over which room they would get. Right, the sannyasis started saying, I want this room. And he said, no, I want this room. And then all the sannyasis were fighting, the brahmacharis were fighting. So then one day, Srila Prabhupada was walking on the banks of Radhakund with Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur. They were walking together. And Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur said, since we have got that big temple, he said, there's been nothing but problems, nothing but quarrelling and fighting in the mutt. He said, there's a fire in the mutt. Right? Just, you know, everything is just falling apart because there's just quarrelling and arguing. He said, it would be better if we sold all the marble in the temple and just printed books and just concentrate on book distribution, preaching. And then he said to Prabhupada on the banks of Radhakund, I think it was in 1935, or something, it might have been 1932 or something, he said to Srila Prabhupada on the banks of Radhakund, he said, if you ever get money, print books. Right? And that entered Prabhupada's heart, right? As a deep instruction from his guru. And then Prabhupada dedicated his life to printing and distributing books. Like that. So, you'll see that when material wealth comes in, if the devotees get too caught up on material wealth, then what happens? Everyone starts quarrelling amongst each other. That's why all the wealth in the temple has to be used for Krishna, for the service of the deities. Prabhupada said we should not even keep one farthing for sense gratification. Prabhupada said not even 1 cent should be used for sense gratification. Because as soon as you begin to use money for sense gratification, the deity's money, then your consciousness becomes contaminated and all the devotees will start to quarrel. But if everything is used in Krishna's service, everything stays very peaceful and very, very nice. Like that. So this is what should have happened with the Shaman Tucker jewel. It should have just been offered to Krishna immediately. But someone wanted to keep it for themselves and then suddenly everything became very disturbed. So we'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Is there any different types of worships, or there is only one type of worship that you do, like different types of worships?
What does that mean?
I mean, there is only one worship we do, like with lamps and everything. There's other worships as well which the devotees do.
It means everything we do for the deity is worship, is puja.
Like kirtan and singing, these things are also worship.
Yeah, all that is considered deity worship. Like that. Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada has explained to us that the method of purifying the consciousness in Kali Yuga is to dance and chant in front of the deities of Gaur Nitai, to do Sankirtan in front of Gaur Nitai. That's the method like that. So then Prabhupada points out that even if you're not a Brahmana, even if you haven't taken Brahman initiation, you can't go onto the altar and you can't do the puja like that, but there's no disadvantage in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, you can become completely purified and you can go back to Godhead just by dancing and chanting in front of Gaur Nitai. That's the process in Kali Yuga. Like that. And then, if you're not a Brahman initiated devotee, you can't go onto the altar and do the puja directly. Then you can make garlands for the deities, like all the devotees, or they make giwiks for the deities, or you can help in the paraphernalia room. The paraphernalia room is the same as the, Prabhupada teaches us, is the same as the deity room. It's the same. It's Krishna's paraphernalia. So if you're doing paraphernalia service, or you're making garlands, or you're making giwiks or anything, that's the same as being on the altar. It's not different. Because Krishna is absolute. Like that. So any of these services you do. Factually speaking, every service we do in the temple is the same as being on the altar. Just like if you sweep the temple floor, it's Krishna's temple. So it's the same as sweeping the floor on the altar. It's exactly the same. Right, if you put out the rubbish out in the car park, right, if you clean the kitchen, if you wash the pots, they're Krishna's pots, it's Krishna's kitchen. If you go out and distribute books, you're distributing books so that people will become attracted to come to Krishna's temple. Right, if you go to Crossways and you distribute prasadam, you're distributing the deity's prasadam. So everything we do in this movement has the same spiritual value. But still the devotees should become inspired and motivated to take second initiation so that they can go onto the altar and worship the deities directly, because that is very special. Just like this morning, I had the fortune to bathe Lord Chaitanya, right? After Mangalati, then we have to bathe Gaurnitai, big Gaurnitai, we have to bathe them like that. So I bathe them. And before we begin the, it says in the Shastra that before you begin the worship, then you should put your head on the feet of the deity. So that's very special. So devotees should aspire to take Brahman initiation so that they can go and directly do services to the deity, because that's very wonderful. But if you're not Brahman initiated, still, there's no disadvantage. Is that okay?
And explaining even in Charnamrita that it's also considered part of deity worship. Mm. But as you mentioned, the advantage of being a Brahmana is that, like for example, touching your head on the lotus feet of the Lord, mm. Prabhupada explains the pujaris does this in behalf of the other devotees.
Mm.
Who can't do it. Also, in the Shantaka Jewel is connected with Shankarjuna and the Brahman where Krishna killed it. And you got that jewel?
No, that's a different jewel. That's a different jewel. That when he killed Shankarjuna and then they took that jewel, he gave that jewel to Balaram. And Balaram gave it to Radharani.
I heard that Radharani gave it to Samba.
It's not that jewel. It's not the Saumantaka jewel. It's a different jewel. It's not that jewel. It's not Shankarjuna's jewel. That's a different, two different jewels. There's many, many jewels like that, not just one. So. I'll just make that point. Also, what you're saying about when the pujari does the seva and then everyone else in the temple gets the benefit. Just like when we do the, on Gaur Purnima or on Janmashtami, we do the Abhishek, and the pujaris are doing the Abhishek. But while they're doing the Abhishek, all the devotees in their mind, they can meditate that we are assisting the pujaris. Right? In the mind, you can meditate that I'm handing the water pots to the pujaris, and then they bathe the deities. So everyone in the temple gets the same benefit. Right? It's not that just the devotee, you think, oh, the pujaris are getting all the benefit. No, everyone can get the same benefit. Because in the mind, you can imagine I'm also assisting the pujaris in that service. Mm-hmm. Like that. So everyone gets the same benefit. Like that. Even when the aarti, like every morning we come like Mangalati, watching Mangalati, it's not that the devotee is doing the Mangalati. You can meditate, you are assisting the devotees who are doing the Mangalati. So in this way you can get all the benefit of doing the aarti also.
You mentioned that in different ages there are different ways, different processes for self-realization. But speaking in the 11th canto, it's mentioned that in the age of Satya Yuga, all the beings are perfect and they don't need a process to get purified. They just meditate. Whereas, like in Dwapara Yuga, they have to do fire sacrifice to get purified and do yagyas. But then, why is it that they are very perfect?
It is mentioned they're Paramahamsas. It does mention that in the 11th canto, they're Paramahamsas. But it seems that still there is some material conditioning there. It doesn't seem like they're totally pure souls, because otherwise why are they doing that meditation? Or maybe they are pure souls, but then they perform that particular process in order to liberate back to the spiritual world or something like that. Because it's mentioned that is the Yuga Dharma. So Yuga Dharma means that you perform the Yuga Dharma so you can go back to the spiritual world. That's the whole reason why we do the Yuga Dharma. So they're doing some Yuga Dharma, so it seems they're in the material world, right? So they're doing that Yuga Dharma so they can go back to the spiritual world. But it does mention they are Paramahamsas, so I don't know. Maybe we can ask Bhanu Swami or someone.
Okay,
Prabhu,
would you like to comment on
the
Bhagavad Gita mention? Tell us why we do Arti and Vidhi. What is the significance of aarti? Offering lamp?
You offer the incense because when we do the aarti, we're meditating that Krishna has come. All right? We're meditating, Krishna, please take this asana. Please take this throne. Please sit in this place. So you meditate Krishna has come. So then you offer nice incense, make the room or make the place very fragrant. When you're offering the lamp means that you are meditating that I'm lighting. Just like we have electricity now, But when Krishna was there, there was no electricity. So you would light all the lamps to make everything light, to make everything warm. Like that. So with the lamp, you meditate on lighting everything. As we're doing the arti like that. And then you offer the water. The water means that you are bathing Krishna. Right? Either bathing his feet or bathing his body. Krishna has come. He wants to, you know, just like when someone comes, they want to wash, freshen themselves. So you wash, you meditate, you're bathing Krishna. And then when he's finished, you offer fresh cloth like that so he can dry himself and dress himself in something, new clothes. Like that, you're offering new clothes like that. And then we offer the flowers. Flowers means the garlands. Now that Krishna has put on new cloth, then we can offer some nice flower garland. Like when we're doing the offering the flowers, and we meditate, we can offer a flower garland like that. And then the chamara means that we are keeping the insects away. You know, we move the chamara like that, keep all the insects away. And then we do the peacock fan when it's hot weather. Then we do the fan just to keep Krishna cool, to fan him like that. So.
And chandan? We offer chandan also?
During the deity worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chandan you put on the feet of the Lord especially. And also when it's hot, then you put it on the forehead. Yeah, sandalwood keeps the body cool. So you put sandalwood paste, like you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dvaita Acharya would bring sandalwood pulp and put it on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in, when it's hot, you put it on the head. If it's not hot, then you just put it on the feet with tulsi. You offer it to the Lord's feet with tulsi. But when it's hot, then you put it on the head. Or you can even put it on the whole body. Just like you see in Mayapur, you see the pictures. Radha Madhava during Chandan Yatra, 21 days, the whole body gets covered with chandan, with sandalwood to keep them, because it's very hot at that time. Any other questions or comments?
You're saying how when we're from the deities, we should never be upset, we should always be happy, you know, they're happy. But I've heard it said by some deities that, you know, if you're struggling and going through a tough time, you know, they say to the disciples, you know, come Krishna and just reveal everything to him, you know, surrender in the sense that, you know, it may not be, you know, happy or, you know, you may be crying, you may be upset, whatever, but you're revealing everything to him, your material desires, everything to him. So, that seems to be,
then, probably in a general sense, then we should be happy. Like, you know, if we're coming in 365 days a year and we're, you know, crying and morose and like that, then that's probably not so good like that. Generally, devotees should be happy like that. But like you said, that Krishna is our Lord. He is our God. He is, you know, our deity. So if we are feeling like that, then obviously we approach him. You know, if you have problems, you come before him and sometimes you may even cry and everything like that. Like that. But the point is that you should feel when you come towards him that he will dispel those problems. And sometimes you come before him and you're feeling very, like I said, sometimes I come to the temple, my mind's disturbed. But when I see Krishna, then everything comes back into perspective. I realize those things I'm disturbed about are actually just very temporary and they're just very insignificant things. Right? So then when you come before Krishna, then you begin to feel like that and then everything dissipates. So the reason Prabhupada's saying is that you should be happy when you become before Krishna, because you should remember Krishna's happy because he's in the spiritual world. I should be in the spiritual world right now. And the only reason I'm feeling unhappy is because I'm refusing to cooperate with Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise I'd be feeling blissful. So that brings us to the state of consciousness we should be back in again. Like that. So that's why we should not come before the deity and like our lamenting. But if you are feeling that, you come before him like that. But the point is that if you understand his position, then you should feel relief from your problems. Like that. Is that okay?
We also told in the Bhakti Raksha class that we should take care of the weather as well. According to the weather, we should offer deities. Like if there is cold, so we should offer less. Slowly.
Yeah, that means that he's saying that when you worship the deity, then you should worship the deity according to the seasons. So in summer, we offer particular types of incense, like sandalwood incense, because sandalwood is cooling. So in summer, you offer sandalwood incense to the deities, but in winter, you offer warm incense like henna and different ones like saffron and different ones like that. And then oils, when we massage the body of the deity with the oils, you know, when we do the massage with oils in the deity worship in the puja itself, then we should use the cool oils in summer and we use the warm oils in winter, like that. So just makes the deity worship nicer and nicer. Any other points?
You mentioned that to remove anger, one should remove envy first. And you are very good at it, but that don't feel and solution towards the superior. But before that, you mentioned that to remove lust from your heart and mind, one should make a plan. So, can you give some more instruction?
That means, it says, Narada says, you make plans with determination. He says that if you're attached to sense gratification, so to say, like, sense gratification means, one type of sense gratification means you like to eat too much sweets. Right? You're attached. You like to eat too much sweets. When no one's around, you eat five rice crullers. Too attached to sense gratification. So then you have to make a determined plan. I will only eat sweets once a week. Right? Determined. Right? So when you become determined like that, then you can overcome your sense gratification. Or I will only eat one a day. Right? So when you become determined, then it happens. So Narada says the way to give up sense gratification or lust, you have to make a determined plan. Like that. If you're not determined in the mind, you can't do it. All the gross activities, first they happen in the mind. If you haven't done it in the mind, you won't do it in the on the gross platform. In the mind, if you've already done it, like, I will do it, then it can happen more easily. Just like you go on book distribution. You have to be very fixed. Because when you go out there, there's so many obstacles and so many difficulties. Not easy. But in the mind, you have to be, I will do it. Like that. But if you're not like that in the mind, if you're in the mind like, oh, you know, I don't want to go out today, it's too cold, you know, I'm too cold, it's too cold, everybody's too cold, my shoes are too cold, you know, my glasses are too cold, you know, like that, and then you're not going to get out of book distribution. You have to be fixed, like that. So Narada says, be determined, like that, and then you'll.
I will read it to this book description. I feel very fearful to approaching people. How to talk about it? I mean, people are walking on very, I feel very fearful to stop them.
Yeah. It's not an easy service to do that, to stop a complete stranger and then giving them a book about God. It's not a very easy thing to do. So you have to take the association of those who are already determined. And by their association, you will also become. So you go out with them, right, and you get their mood. In your heart, you have to have strong desire, and then you get their mood, you get their association, you will also get it. Just do some austerity. You do some austerity, then everything will come. Krishna will help you. Any other question or comment?
Guru, as you said, a very common fundamental question. You have really like seen the devotees and come and show that Krishna will take away your problems. And even in an associate devotee, you show that Krishna will help you. But at times, you are not an associate of devotee, you are not in front of the deity, you are quite far away, and you are put in a problem. And how can you just make up a mind, okay, even though I am facing this problem right now, it will be over when it's temporary. Because when you are not an associate devotee, all the other thoughts come, oh, how will I overcome this problem?
So then if you go away from the devotees, sometimes, you know, we go away from the devotees, we have to travel or we have to go somewhere. So then you take the pictures of the deities with you. And then you pray to the deities and you chant your rounds. Just like this is what we just talked about. You have to be very determined. So sometimes when you go to a place, you have to go away for a few days, away from the devotees, away from the deities. Then you have to be very determined before you leave to chant your rounds very strictly, to read Prabhupada's books. right? And to take the pictures of the deities with you, set up your altar like that. So if you're in that consciousness, then Krishna will protect you.
Because I usually have to, you know, during exams, I have to go to the dorm and stay in that room for at least 5 or 6 days. And that time, you know, it becomes difficult to chant for the dorm, you know, because of pressure to study or something. Chant for the dorm, and listen to some lecture. And sometimes I feel a bit fear of the dorm. Like, I just think, oh, better go back to temple, and, you know. So, like,
yeah, so when you become more advanced devotee, then you can cope with Maya more easily. But when you're less advanced devotee, when you're a new devotee, Maya is very strong and it's very difficult to deal with her. So therefore you have to come back to the temple as much as you can. But when you become stronger, then you can, it'll be easier for you to do those things. You just stick at it, keep following the process, and then you'll become stronger over time. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.